Thank you. You may be seated.
And good morning to everyone, and a special thanks to Creighton University and their School of Law for hosting us today. So we appreciate all the students being here, and we appreciate lawyers making a special sacrifice to come to Omaha rather than Lincoln. I don't know if that's a sacrifice, but we appreciate your doing it. And with that, we will go on to the first case of the day, which is Kane versus Nebraska Tax Equalization Commission. Mr. Domina, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Dave Domina. I'm here on behalf of Dr. Don Kane. This is the third appearance of this case before the Nebraska Supreme Court. This time we are here because there is a simple maxim that controls the dispute before you today. And that is that words matter in the law, and your words matter most. Dr. Kane contends that in 2018, you made a clear and unequivocal decision that his 1,093 acres of Custer County land had a value of $870 an acre. And against that value, Turk was to direct the assessor to levy the property tax. When Turk received your order, it attached your opinion and remanded to the assessor, adding its own interpretive sentence, which created the misfortune that brings us here. But your opinion went to the assessor. The assessor takes the position that you held that the value subject to tax, the assessed value, was $870 an acre, but the only issue before you in 2018, as Justice Funk expressed in your unanimous opinion, was the actual value, and that's what you determined. Our position is that the only way for us to get here was to use declaratory judgment, which we did. And that's because our dispute is with the assessor about what your words meant.
You have appealed Turk's order after remand, directing the assessor. Could that have been appealed to this court? And does it matter if it could have?
Point one, Your Honor, I do not think that it could have been appealed then, because at that point in time, Turk did remand your opinion. Its words are not superior to yours, so it was not clear about what the assessor would do. So there was no justiciable controversy at the time that Turk issued its order.
Mr. Domina, I'd like to be clear about your position with respect to the Turk order. Did the Turk order disobey our mandate?
I will take the position, and I think I'm right in this position, that the answer is no. What Turk could have done is said, attached is the opinion of the Nebraska Supreme Court, used one good sturdy staple and sent it down. Instead, it chose to write a page. But in writing that page, it didn't purport to trump you. It didn't purport to direct the assessor to do anything different from what you directed. And therefore, I don't think Turk really disobeyed your order. But even if I could have theoretically appealed then, even if there had theoretically been a justiciable controversy then, I would have been missing a party who hadn't had a chance to take a position, and that's the county assessor. Because it's only the assessor who is responsible for multiplying the actual value of the real estate times the statutory formula to get to the assessed value.
Is that a ministerial function?
In most cases, it's a ministerial function. In this case, it was a ministerial function directed by you. And when Turk said to the assessor, obey the mandate of the Supreme Court, we had no way of knowing that the assessor would disobey your mandate until we learned it at the assessor level.
I thought you just said that this wasn't a case where they disobeyed the mandate, and I just understood you to say they did. So how do we characterize the nature of your claim?
Your Honor, my position is that Turk did not disobey the mandate. The assessor did disobey the mandate, which is what brings us here today. So I think the controversy, to be correctly characterized, is one in which the taxpayer and the assessor disagree about the opinion of the Nebraska Supreme Court and what you held. And it's for you now to tell us whether we're right or they're right.
Isn't the remedy for disobedience of a mandate dictated by long-established case law, including the State versus Dickinson case, which you cited in your brief, which is an action in mandamus?
Well, it might be an action in mandamus in most proceedings where there's a remand to a court that is responsible for carrying out the decree. But in this case, Your Honor, there was an intermediate step, maybe an unfortunate one, and that was Turk.
Isn't the Turk acting ministerially when they act upon our mandate?
I would think that that would be the appropriate view.
So yes. Don't we have, in effect, a two-layered ministerial action?
Perhaps. Yeah. But the question is, when do we have a controversy? And if the controversy occurs at the time of the next step, which is the mathematics of assessing the property, then the controversy is with the assessor, and that's what happened here.
Isn't mandamus a better fit for what you're arguing here? Mandamus you could bring directly to this court. This court could say this is what this court's opinion meant. A declaratory judgment sort of introduces an actor, a district court, which normally doesn't have any role to play in property tax assessment proceedings. And then we also have an issue where you're asking a district court to tell Turk and the assessor what our order means. Isn't mandamus a better fit?
Well, Your Honor, first of all, I don't think you would necessarily take this case on mandamus in your original jurisdiction. I'd have to persuade you to do that, which is a tall order based on your history. But secondly, if the question here is how my complaint should have been characterized, whether it is mandamus or declaratory judgment, under either of those views, Dr. Kane should prevail. Because if we are in agreement that we have two ministerial acts and there was no third act, which was the mathematics giving rise to the dispute, which is what I think happened here, then I'm perfectly comfortable with a writ of mandamus. But the state is not comfortable with you deciding that somebody below you trumped your holding, which is what would happen if there's a procedural wiggle off the hook of making sure that your mandate is obeyed.
In your prayer for relief in the complaint, one of the things you request is that the district court determine the amount of the tax due and the amount to be refunded and to refund the overpaid amount with interest as provided by law. Do I understand that to mean that the tax has been paid?
Dr. Kane, Your Honor, the answer is not in the record. Dr. Kane has paid as much of the taxes assessed against his property between 2012 and 2019 as he can pay. He will have refund proceedings. Tax years 2013 through 2019 on this property are all resting on the docket of Turk awaiting your decision. He is a decade nearly behind in knowing what his tax rate is or on these 1,093 acres. So when I requested that relief, and maybe I haven't gotten to your question yet, Your Honor, when I requested that relief, I will confess that I did that partly out of frustration that Custer County's assessor and Board of Equalization or supervisors haven't fixed this problem before three trips here. But I didn't get that relief. I haven't assigned error because that relief wasn't awarded. And if you press me with a question which you haven't, I probably was never entitled to that relief.
So have the 2012 taxes been paid?
The 2012 taxes are up. Well, the only reason I can't answer that directly is because he paid a large sum and applied it against the mass of taxes to be determined when there is a final decision. So I am not able to say with clarity or precision that the 12 taxes or the 13 taxes or the 14 taxes have all been paid. He sent him a check and said, stop the interest on some of this, and didn't necessarily apply it to him here. It's a mess. We need your help. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bowers, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. Steve Bowers, County Attorney, appearing on behalf of Lana Limber, the Custer County Assessor. First, Justices, I think I should address the jurisdiction issue here. Basically, this court has held previous occasions, on multiple occasions, that The court must determine whether they have jurisdiction over the issue before they get to the merits of the case. In this issue, the trial court actually looked at it and said, this is not the appropriate way to go about this, said, you have to go before the Board of Equalization. This court has held that that is the full exclusive remedy for an aggrieved taxpayer. So when they set this new value, they were supposed to go in front of the Custer County Board, sitting as the Board of Equalization, or in this unique circumstance, because Turk sat as the Board of Equalization, to ask them to sit as the Board of Equalization to readdress if they believed it was an overvalued. Secondly, justices, I think the court has also ruled before that a declaratory judgment is not an appropriate remedy for an action of the Board of Equalization. The assessor would do the act, but appears in front of the Board of Equalization to have that approved by the board. That way, they have to, there, then, the taxpayer would have a remedy to go in front of the board to ask them to review their decision, and if they don't, then there is an appeal process. They didn't do that. They went to a declaratory judgment where the law is clear, is that there's an adequate remedy of law that you declaratory judgment is not appropriate.
What about the law with respect to declaratory judgments and government, the state and agencies of the state? Do we need to concern ourselves with that law and whether sovereign immunity is something we should be thinking
and
about?
I did address that, Your Honor. The law is clear when it comes to state agencies, but when it comes to political subdivisions like us, the law was not clear about that. It basically said, with the state agencies, these are the demarcations, and appellant argued when we were in front of the district court judge that that applies to the state, not to the local political subdivisions. So that was an issue where I did raise that, as did Turk. I think another concern is whether or not the necessary parties are here. I don't think that the appellant can argue at one point during the trial or during the declaratory judgment that Turk is not a necessary party and actually agree that they should be dismissed, and then now assert, well, if they are a necessary party, then the district court erred and that they should be added as a necessary party.
Your alternative remedies seem to assume that this matter is a conventional matter where you have a taxpayer who's unhappy with values, or right?
Correct.
And that isn't really the case history here, right? We all agree, all the players agree, this court said 951,000, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
We're not going field trips and assessments and all of that. The question is, what does that mean?
That
would be the issue when the case went down. I'm not even asking you to take a position on that, although I could guess. but that's the dilemma here procedurally, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
So I'm not so sure that starting from the beginning is the way for either the taxpayer or the agency.
I think when this court gave us that number, the court had said at the very beginning that this is about actual value, but then goes through the entire analysis of how agricultural land is different. It's valued at 75% of actual value. So when the court put that this is to be taxed and assessed at $951,000
and did change. Did we use taxed and assessed?
Pardon me?
Did
Your Honor.
We use taxed and assessed?
Your Honor, I believe that the court said that that tax is to be determined and paid. And then when the
based off the valuation. Based off the valuation.
Yes, Your Honor, but the court did, in its opinion, go through the analysis of agricultural land. And I think that it's important to determine that under Title 77, it does say that the landowner has the right to have actual value determined. But if you look under the agricultural statutes, especially in the market area under 77-103.1, it says the actual value of what it's in there, and that is taking into account the agricultural land, whatever you want to call deduction.
But we all agree on what the statutory formula is, right?
Yes,
we just don't know what the number means.
And I think that's what the issue is if This is presented to the taxpayer, and he thinks that he's still entitled to the 75% reduction, and we believe that the court has already done that. He is now given this value. He thinks that he is overassessed. His remedy now is to go to the Board of Equalization and say, I have been overassessed on my taxes, and then the Board of Equalization can hear that.
And don't start from scratch, because we all know there's a 951 sitting out there.
Sure.
Right? Sure. No field trips.
What exactly do you mean by go to the Board of Equalization? So we're, as Justice Miller-Lerman has pointed out, we're not starting over from scratch. We have a remand and a mandate from this case to Turk and from Turk to the assessor. So what exactly do you mean by go back to the Board of Equalization? What was the taxpayer precisely to do?
The Board of Equalization is the remedy for an aggrieved taxpayer. It says this court has held that any aggrieved local taxpayer must appear.
Then he may not be aggrieved. He's got a number he can like if you give the right statutory formula.
Correct. I think he's aggrieved because of the actions of the assessor.
I see.
This court also says that the assessor's actions must be brought before the Board of Equalization.
So the Board of Equalization, the county board, would be trying to discern what we meant in our opinion? Is that what you're arguing?
I think when we argued, Your Honor, before the district court, we said that we would go with whatever Turk mandates us to do. When Turk mandated that, down to us, the tax value is assessed value, we sent that out to the taxpayer. I think it's disingenuous to say that they didn't get that mandate from Turk and didn't take any action until the assessor did, because later on in their brief, they say that it was more hypothetical when they saw it and didn't wait until the assessor did it. Because they did, you can't say that you didn't get it on one hand and then say that you were just waiting.
I'd like to turn to the same question I asked Mr. Domina. Doesn't Turk, in acting upon our mandate, act in a ministerial function, and isn't the assessor's action in implementing the mandate of Turk a purely ministerial function?
I would agree with that, Your Honor. I would agree that they take your order and then Turk sends it down and then it goes down to our assessor, and basically it's just a paper show.
Does now, that inform, I beg your pardon?
I was just going to follow up. As I understood your previous answer to one of my colleagues, you take the position, I take it, correct me if I'm wrong, that the Turk's remand order would be in disobedience of our mandate.
I don't agree with that, Your Honor. I think what Turk did is they took your order and did a mandate down there. Whether or not they interpreted it as the same thing that we did, or the court had a different interpretation.
All right, let me use a different verb. Misconstrued our mandate.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, because I guess we don't know what the actual value was, but.
When answering these questions, and we're focusing on ministerial duties, as Justice Castle is doing, isn't that a whiff of mandamus?
I agree with that. I was trying to find that case, because I know I had looked that up, about that, if the remedy for this would have been a writ of mandamus to enforce that. And that did not happen here. My argument would be that I think the case law is pretty clear that this is not an appropriate action for declaratory judgment. I think that the court found that it was an improper collateral attack, and that he had an adequate remedy at law. Further, you can't, if you're going to argue that Turk is now a necessary party, all the parties haven't been joined. So you can't have it both ways.
I asked Mr. Domina if the 2012 taxes have been paid. Do you have a view on that question?
I believe that they were, it's not in the record, but I believe what happened is they were up for tax sale and he came in and bought up the tax deeds, is my understanding.
But that's not in our record.
Correct, it's not on the record. There's no other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? 1 minute and 22 seconds. Mr. Domina.
Your Honor, if the taxpayer bought the tax certificate, the taxes aren't paid, the certificate is sold. The Protestant Reformation came about not because of a dispute about what Scripture said, but because of Luther's question, what does this mean? The question before you today is, what does the language at the end of your 2018 opinion mean?
Couldn't we have answered that in a writ of mandamus?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor, because at that point in time, the question was not what was the duty of the assessor or how should she do it. We all agree she should multiply something times 75%. The question is, what does this mean? What is the number? That is an issue that it arises because we have a disagreement about the language of your opinion.
Was our opinion ambiguous?
Not to me. But that is the stuff of controversy. It is obvious there is a dispute before you about what that language means.
Well, just because parties disagree doesn't mean there's a bona fide dispute. So
you have held that to be true about statutes, the Constitution, contracts, ordinances, and today you get to decide it about your own opinions.
Okay.
Now, Your Honor, I think that on the question of mandamus, if the assessor had decided to use 80% instead of 75, that would be a mandamus case. Thank you.
Thank you.